This is the story of an American guy and the Tipo Porteño trapped in a city with beautiful architecture, but loads of dog poo on the streets, delicious beef, but no food variety. Friendly people and laid-back attitude, but mind-numbing bureaucracy. Convenient exchange rate, but no change. Cheap public transportation, but insane traffic. Against all odds, we're going to try to find a way to sort out these dilemmas. Fernando Farias is the local. Together, they bring you BA Cast. BA Cast.
Episode 20, March 10, 2011.
This is the end.
My dearest friends, the end.
My only friend.
Okay, it's the same. Suck. Well, this is our final episode of season one. Okay, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking today about health and body image with Sharon, Cynthia, and Ashley in connection with upcoming events in Buenos Aires. Now, Sharon is involved specifically with
endangered,
what aspect of...
Endangered Species, an event that's going to take place next week in Buenos Aires about... Mainly is about healthy body image, self-image for women.
Right.
The Spanglish Playground today with English language words and or expressions used or misused by porteños.
As always, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, BACast, and...
By the way, you can download the cheat sheets for each episode with references, links, and additional audio.
Don't say...
Muslo. Asco or cáscara.
Instead, say
mujlo, asco, cáscara.
Spanglish Playground.
Expressions in English that here in Buenos Aires as porteños use a lot, but well, not all of them are entirely correct in terms of grammar.
So we have a couple of examples here. So you guys like to say casting.
Yeah, for example, I am a locutor, right. And if I'm looking for a job at a radio station, they would call for a casting.
Yeah.
That's exactly an audition.
Right. And, I mean, it's not that far off.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, I mean, they do casting calls for auditions.
But what is the most common word?
They would most likely say they were holding auditions for.
There you go.
Right. Then there's R power.
But R power, that something is power, or es power, mm-hmm. It's like it's very strong.
Right. And then there's estoy...
Like a Fernet. Right. Not try this Fernet out. It's half Fernet, half Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Está repower.
Okay. Estoy a full or a full, which you said here there's all the way, but a full, like if I say estoy a full...
Estoy a full o está a full...
I'm super busy. Another way to say that is estoy hasta las manos.
Okay.
Estoy hasta las bolas.
But if I tell you, are you coming to the party? A full...
True.
That's
yes.
All the way. That's
definitely.
Definitely.
For sure. Now, super top. I love that one.
Es re top.
No, es re top.
Es re
no,
top.
Sorry, es re top.
Classic. No,
like, what? Top. I don't understand that at all. Like,
top is, in this context in Argentina, is classy. Something with class. How would you say we use that?
I would
What's
say
What's your
it's
diagnosis?
More like snobby.
Top?
Yeah.
Re top?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a snobby has got like a pejorative meaning.
Okay, true.
Expensive. Ah, okay. Yeah. True. Agree.
Chamal delivery.
That's exactly, literally, order food.
Yeah.
Over the phone.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, though, is you say that, so I don't know if that's used that often, because I've said that to Argentines before, and they don't understand what I'm saying.
When you say what?
Chamal delivery. Quiero llamar al delivery.
Es que hablas
and
con
then
el orto.
Like, what? Oh, come on, dude. You know I don't hablar con el orto. You hablar con el orto.
Okay. No, yes, but you say that. Llamar al delivery.
Well, it's the correct way to say it is envío a domicilio.
Yeah, but nobody says that.
What do you mean nobody says that?
Nobody says that. Llamar al delivery is perfectly correct.
Yeah, I don't think it's that correct? I wouldn't trust it.
BACast.
Why don't you tell us? Contact. Go to the Facebook. Tell us.
Contact at BACast.com. Which one is better?
Yeah.
Now, fashion. Fashion in this case is like cool or trendy or hipster or hip.
Exactly. And then very related to, well, not that related to beep.
Yeah,
you know?
Veep.
But I love
Veep.
What
Veep.
I love it
Veep.
Is exactly
Veep with a B.
Exactly.
We don't make a difference between B and V.
What I love is that you say it so often, and it was never like in English. You use that not infrequently. You use it sometimes, but you would always say VIP. You say the three letters, and here you just said Veep. Because somebody, I'm imagining in the history, somebody wrote it down VIP, and then an Argentine looked at that and went Veep.
This podcast is brought to you by Anuva Wines, ANUVAWines.com.
Ahora, chamuchamos.
With
Sharon Haywood,
Ashley Baldwin,
and
Cynthia Pacheco.
I think women here are taught that their sexuality is where they have their power.
Mm.
So they are taught that they come from a place of power if they use their sexuality to get a job, to make friends, to find a man.
You say women are taught that?
Yes, I do.
By
I think by the media
by
images. No, not so much. Well, yes, by other women, but society sets a standard. And by society, that's defined by what you see in advertising, what you see on television, what is read in the newspapers. What are the societal standards? That it's okay to say, que hermosa que sos or que culo que tenés. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. So that's society telling you, okay, well, you need to learn that the most important thing is how you look and how sexual you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch the television, you see the subtleness of the messages that are given to women, right? What you can wear, how you can say things, how you can walk. So it's okay for, you know, television programs, not just Tinelli, but other ones that are like game shows. They show women, you know, they'll do the full body scan. It's okay.
Close
for
up
them.
On the ass.
Right, exactly. And
is that really that different, though, than North American media? It might be more in your face
yes.
here.
Yes, here we believe that it's kind of 10 times, 100 times. It's much worse here. It's like there's a magnifying glass on all of the things that are wrong in first world when it comes to women and objectification or whatever you want to call it.
And this impression that many men, foreign men, who established in Argentina, the women are awesome. They should know that it comes with this downside. What I mean,
I don't think it's a downside. The women here are considered generally to be very attractive, but I think that you need to look beyond why that's so. I mean, women here have a tremendous pressure to appear a certain way, far more than we do in the UK or the US or Europe. And I think men need to understand and appreciate what goes into making Argentine women so lindas,
mm-hmm.
and that it's, you know, a lot of dieting. Argentina has the second highest rate of eating disorders in the world after Japan.
So how do you solve that inherent conflict where the media company goes, well, this is what sells? Skinny, tall, blonde, busty women is what sells.
Well, it's not so much that sells. The skinny, tall, blonde, busty woman is the image that invokes insecurity in women that make themselves feel bad about their body. So it's like, well, I'm not tall enough, or I'm not busty enough, so I need to buy this cream, I need to get some breast implants, I need to dye my hair, I need to diet, I need to do all these things. I mean, they're down to, you know, I mean.
So it's really talking about insecurity.
Completely. It's about implanting.
What's the percentage of women who are unsatisfied with their bodies?
In Argentina, the last study, I think it was 87%.
87.
There are girls who are 5 years old who are dieting.
Mm-hmm.
There are mothers who are putting their babies on diets or giving them low-fat milk because they're too chubby. You know, and you compare that to a guy thinks, you know, about sex every 20 minutes. Well, replace that with, I'm ugly, I'm fat.
Something to me that's always interesting to think about is what did the model of the ideal woman look like 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, etc. And my understanding, albeit really superficial, was that, especially in medieval times, fat women were considered to be the most beautiful because being fat meant you had a lot of money and you could get a lot of food, right? So that was a symbol of status. Today, it's completely different. One possible explanation as to why this particular image of the woman, the thin, tall, blonde, busty woman, is the archetype right now, is because going back to that symbol of status, if you are thin, you have time to exercise. You have time to eat correctly. And as we all know, also diabetes, obesity, and the obesity-related diseases are a product basically of the poor who cannot afford to eat the right foods or don't have time to eat the right foods.
I understand in theory your argument, but I don't agree.
Okay.
The argument that I agree with is more in line with feminist theory. Naomi Wolf wrote The Beauty Myth. It was quite a famous book that came out in the 80s. And her and many other women noticed that women started to get smaller and smaller in size when they were given more rights. The images in the media started presenting women in a very limited kind of box, if you will. And they had to, you know, they had the really cinched waist and they had the
It's a chicken and egg scenario. I think that what you're talking about came after the business decision. The business decision was made because people bought it.
And why do you think people bought it?
I don't know. What I do know about the human body is this concept of symmetry. And you can actually watch lots and lots of documentaries on the Discovery Channel about symmetry. They take infants and they put them in front of two pictures. One picture is a quote-unquote classically attractive person.
Okay, I agree that there is some kind of built-in mechanisms. We have a reflex to respond to certain things that we may find beautiful. But I also believe that things that we find attractive can be learned. One example I'm going to give you is when I moved here 7 years ago, there was a style, this horrible, horrible style of jeans or track pants. There were jeans that looked like track pants. I don't know if you remember, and they were kind of...
They had cuffs at the bottom.
Cuffs, elastized cuffs at the bottom. And there were the just most horrid things I had ever seen. And I remember seeing
people... Well, it's like the mullet here as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember, and there was other styles that I'd just look in the window and go, God, those are just horrid. And then I was horrified 8 months later, kind of going, huh, that's not so bad. And it's like, holy crap. I thought that was ugly 8 months ago, and now I'm considering buying a pair. Right.
You found yourself dating a guy with a mullet.
Yeah, there
Second
you go.
Second part of this chamuyo in just some minutes. Stay tuned.
BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
You know that there are protests going on, practically everywhere in Argentina. We covered that in episode 18.
Right.
And if you fly from Aeroparque, the domestic airport of Buenos Aires, it's very frequent that there is some sort of protest by the unions or that the airlines, oversold tickets. Something really interesting happened to stranded passengers last Friday, March the 4th. Cyndi Lauper from the United States had come to Buenos Aires to do a gig.
I love Cyndi Lauper, by the way.
Well, me too, especially after what you're going to listen. And Cyndi Lauper was one of the stranded passengers. So in order to appease the stranded passengers, she just asked for the PA. Just singing. This woman is great.
Dude, if I was Cyndi Lauper, I'd do the exact same thing. I'd be like, excuse me, I'm Cyndi fucking Lauper. Give me the microphone. I'm going to entertain everybody right now.
People are amazed. They're taking pictures.
And you can imagine how awesome everyone is feeling at this point. Like, the best airport stranded story in the history of the world.
Only in Argentina.
So I see you have a very interesting question on here.
What, Dan?
What is the mule? Can you do it in that your best locutor voice? Dan, what is the mule pool?
Daniel, ¿qué es mule pool?
Mule pool is a marketplace where people who travel often can connect with people who want to buy stuff from other countries.
That sounds very abstract.
What that means is you can go in the mule pool, you can post something you want from the US or Europe or Canada or any other country in the world, and you can have a mule bring it to you.
But the mule gets paid for this.
The mule does get paid for this, and it's your choice as the buyer to tell the mule how much you want to pay him. So, for example, these microphones that we're talking on right now, you actually muled back from New York where you bought them yourself. Yeah. You just happened to be in New York, so you bought them yourself.
They cost me $40 in B&H, photo and video in New York, and in here in Sarmiento District, in the Sarmiento Street District, which is where you get the professional audio gear in Buenos Aires,
right.
They cost $120.
Right. So what you would do then is you would go on to MulePool and you would post, I want this specific microphone. You would put a link to it on the website. You would say it costs $40 and I'll give you, Mr. Mule, $15 to bring it down to me. Okay? And so what you do
on
then...
On top of the cost back in the United States.
Right, which still costs you, in this case, less than half of the value of the item here in Argentina. You do not give the mule the money directly. You give the mule pool the money. We hold it. We wait until you confirm that you've received the item from the mule, and then we release the funds to the mule.
Where do I need to go to find out more?
www.themulepool.com.
P-A-Cast. P-A-A-Cast.
Whenever you go south in Buenos Aires town, tourist guides don't seem to work. Don't work. The city starts to change. Houses seem so strange. No high-end towers. There are not as many parks. They tend not to overcharge.
Except in Santa Fe and Boca.
When the bus comes, I know I'll just go across that road. They call Rivadavia. Whenever you go south,
you
see no trendy clothes. And English is less spoken. There are fewer street signs, no fancy restaurants.
And certainly, no Starbucks.
A river that is the most polluted in the world. That is called the Riachuelo. If I'm hungry, I know I'll just head to a bodegón. South of Rivadavia, cause south of Rivadavia, Boedo, Barracas, San Cristóbal, Nueva Pompeya, Parque Patricios, Constitución,
el Parque Avellaneda.
We are so sad that lonely, lonely planet doesn't mention, doesn't include us, does not list us.
But wait a minute, don't the expats go to eat Korean barbecue down there because it's spicy?
Oh, it's true. It's true.
BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
Tell us about your event.
Our event is basically to challenge the current culture that teaches women and girls to hate their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And in that is the objectification of women. It's all tied up into
What's
it.
Your event called?
It's
Who's
called
coming?
It's called Endangered Species. The first event was kicked off in London last week. The event is next Wednesday, March 16th. It's at El Centro Cultural de la Cooperación.
More info at endangeredspecieswomen.org or go to our website, bacast.com.
One of the things they will discuss at the event is the sizes law, to guarantee that all shops have sizes for all bodies.
You can't explain to a 12-year-old girl, you know, oh, you just need to feel self-confident, it doesn't matter what you look like, so long as she's being bombarded with these issues on television and in the magazines. But you can stop her from feeling bad about herself when she goes into Gosyuko.
What do the shop owners say to refuse implementing the law?
To be perfectly, we've approached several shop owners.
Is it the shop owners or the manufacturers?
Well, the owners, the businesses. What do they say?
We approached representatives. A lot of them, to be honest, do not want to be associated with this body image summit.
They would say it openly.
They don't want to be associated with gorditas. They don't want their...
They don't want a fat ass to publicize their...
No.
We're not talking about a fat ass. We're talking about a size 42 ass or a size 42 ass. We're talking about a normal ass.
The average Argentine woman.
We're printing out these stickers, which we're going to be giving to...
Like an endorsement for stores who recognize and are attempting to comply with the law.
So that women now can make a conscious choice of not only shopping in places which are going to stock sizes for their bodies, but also shopping in places which are women-friendly and which are stocking a variety of sizes for all of their female friends. And hopefully that way, encouraging stores to comply.
Imagine that in the middle of a Tinelli show, they have a 1-minute long spot with someone of the organization explaining, making a point. 10% of the audience of Tinelli, at least to think about it, it would definitely make a difference.
I agree with that.
10%, 5%.
While I agree with that, I think that a better goal is simply the elimination of Tinelli through ignoring him completely.
Let's eliminate
because
Tinelli.
he's awful, but he is
okay,
awful.
Let's talk with the government to put an ad that says, "Hey, you don't need to look like that." Because it's unhealthy.
Do you think that they'll let that go on air, though?
Because the government is at odds with Grupo Clarín that owns Tinelli. They would just do it not for health. They would just do it to piss them off. Pragmatic. That's called realpolitik.
Yeah.
PA Cast.
Che, escuchen. In season 2, we're going to be back with Sharon, Cynthia, and Ashley debating about piropos, the media and their relation to body image, marketing strategies, health, plastic surgery,
and so much more. So much more.
BA Cast.
Okay, we're going to have a special expat chat to sign off this first season of BA Cast. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Daniel Carlin. I'm an expat living in Buenos Aires, and I have a business that imports wine to the States from Argentina called Anuva Wines. Well, the concept of time is very different between the United States and Argentina. And not that people don't arrive late in the U.S. They do arrive late at times, but usually you arrive fashionably late to a party, which means that you arrive 15 to 30 minutes late to a party. Here, you can tell, for example, my first birthday in Argentina. I had no friends, I didn't know anybody, and I was living with an Argentine couple in San Telmo. This was only 4 weeks into my stay here. And I was already with my girlfriend and dating her. And so I invited her over and I said to my roommates, you know, what can we do for my birthday? And they said, well, you don't have any friends, so we'll invite our friends over and we'll have a party. I said, okay, what time? And they said, well, we'll have dinner at 10. Like, great. So I go to the gym, and I work out, and I come home, and it's like I'm taking a shower at 9:30, 10 o'clock, I have my clothes on, I'm dressed, I'm ready. They're not even home. Okay?
Of course.
Right? And I'm looking at my watch going, it's 10, they're not home, which means at the very earliest we're going to eat at maybe 11.
Not a single person was there.
Not even, no one was home. Not even my girlfriend was there. You know what I mean? And so they show up at maybe 10:30 or 11. Oh, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? It's 10:30. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten anything yet. I just worked out, you know? And they said, oh, yeah, we're going to cook. You know, people will be here in a little bit. No, quédate tranquilo. We're going to get everything done. Don't worry about it.
And this is how I picked my partner, Daniel Carlin.
Oh, it's so romantic.
By the way, that was taped in March 2009.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Listening to this piece, which was part of a section at RISE English Language Program, what made me choose Daniel Kip Carlin as my partner.
Oh, come here and give me a hug. BA Cast.
The Buenos Aires Podcast.
So this was our final regular episode of season one of BA Cast.
Next week, we're going to have a program on Irish and Irishness in Argentina to mark St. Patrick's Day.
Everyone's a little Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And the following week on the 24th, a special documentary edition of BA Cast on the so-called Dirty War, exactly on the 35th anniversary of the coup d'etat that put the military junta in power. A very serious and very important episode, quite honestly speaking.
And immediately after, we're going to start working to bring you a great season 2 that will kick off next June.
In the meantime, we're going to have content every week on our website and subscription channels.
Ciao Tune. Charlie Garcia is the alpha and omega of Argentine rock. He founded two of the most influential bands in Argentina, Sui Generis and Serú Girán.
More than a few of the songs he penned for them, as well as for his solo albums, have become anthems of this country's songbook.
From his first group in the early 70s, folk rock duo Sui Generis, comes our final ciao tune for BA Cast Season 1.
And in a very Argentine counterintuitive fashion, instead of picking a goodbye song, we chose a song that says, welcome.
This is Bienvenidos al Tren. Welcome to the train.
Ciao. Gracias por escuchar.
Thanks for listening.
Recoge tus cosas.
si largo de aquí. En nombre de Cristo no quieras seguir. Si nadie me acepta, ok, ya me iré. Estoy esperando que llegue mi tren. Quieran que serán tratados.